Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
We're going to go on a journey today. Actually, it's mine and Carrie's journey. You've heard part of it. You know, God's amazing. I had something all ready to go till this morning. And even the title didn't seem right when I tried to read it. So, you know, when God tells you to go, when God tells you to do something, just run with it. You know, that's something God's been sharing with Carrie and I the last several months. Pastor Henry, he sees flow in everything he reads. Carrie and I have been seeing go. God is telling us to go forward. Whatever it is that you feel led to do, go get it. Go after it. Don't wait. Don't procrastinate. I mean, Carrie used to call me that procrastinator a long time ago, and it didn't sound like a nice word when she said it. I had a stump out in my yard that I was supposed to take out for years. I'd cut the tree down, made room in the yard for the kids to play. I left that stump standing because it was a lot of work. Well, one day she went back to Northern California to visit her parents with the kids. And I showed her. I went out and I wrapped a chain around that thing and tried to pull it out with my truck. It just wasn't the right angle. I couldn't do it, so I had to go out by hand. And I dug this thing up. But man, it was done. Victory is sweet. She came back home. I don't know if she's ever called me procrastinator again. And she used to say with this, you know, little gag, no more. I did it. Our verse this morning, that our power verse, is Hebrews chapter 11. And it's verse 1. I hope these guys have that in there. It's the Message Bible. It says, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The fact of faith is what distinguished our ancestors and set them above the crowd. How many times have you gone somewhere and someone, you had a problem with something, you had to have someone over your house to fix something, or you had to go get your car fixed, and you're really concerned. How many, we need our cars, right? But when that mechanic walks up to you and goes, I got this. Don't worry about it. You come back tonight, it's done. It's assurance. It's confidence. And if you have a good mechanic, you know he's going to do what he said. This right here is telling us that faith in our life is the one that does that for us. The Holy Spirit says, I got this. Whatever it is you're dealing with, excuse me, he says, I got this. Don't worry about it. And when I saw this in the Message Bible, it just made things ring true for me. That the things that we get overly concerned about, God says, I got this. Don't worry about it. I've shared a little bit of our story where Carrie and I went back home to Northern California and started an outreach back there. This is a journey. You heard that song. I mean, this is a great adventure. This is what we're going to do with our life. And this is the first time that I'd stepped out and really did anything courageous. I mean, we sold our home. We sold our property, everything, and went back home to do something different. And it wasn't easy. It takes a lot to just pack up and go somewhere with no real plan other than God saying go. So we went. We had a lot of fun. For 3 years, we ministered in jails, prisons, AA clubs, NA streets. You know, I walked up and down the streets anywhere from 11 to 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, sharing the gospel with Jesus Christ. I mean, I was a new kid in town, you know. The only reason people even knew me is because I went, and even though I grew up there, it had been quite a few years since I went back home. But I knocked on all the church doors and I said, you know, my name's Pat and I'm here to help. I mean, I just feel like God sent me back here. I kind of went back on an apology tour. You ever heard that mentioned before? Yeah. Well, this was in a good way. I just felt like I had to go back and say, I'm sorry for all the things that I did there growing up. I just couldn't say I'm sorry enough. I went to every church, knocked on the door, said, you know, my name's Pat, and I'm sorry. And he goes, what? And I go, well, it's a long story. But so I got to know all the pastors in the entire county at one point or another. I met them. And we had a blast. It was 3 years of bliss. And it was a great adventure that I'll never forget. It was preparation ground, preparation time for us. Everything you're going through in life, you're preparing for tomorrow. Not only for tomorrow, you're preparing for heaven. You might have some passions within you that are you got to do. And you know what? You may never fulfill some of those until you get there. It might be that's something God's calling you to do in eternity. I don't know. But I know that everything that we're going through right now is an opportunity to grow and develop, to become strong, to be able to handle what's coming. So we did. We grew up. You know, we learned how to live by faith. We learned how to minister. And I'm grateful for that opportunity. At the end of that time, my wife, she goes, you know, when we sold all of our stuff and went home, basically lived off capital gains and stuff for about 3 years. And then she does the books. She goes, honey, kind of running low on money. So what do you want to do? So we thought about it and prayed about it. And God put it on her heart that we were supposed to go spend some time with one of our kids in Arizona. Never been here. Didn't really want to come here. You know, it's a desert. But we did. And I didn't just jump on the bandwagon at that time because I said, I don't know. I don't think you're really hearing from God. Let's pray some more about this. And we did. And a couple of months went by and I knew that, okay, we're supposed to do this. So here goes the great adventure. We pack up everything and say goodbye to the old home again and take off on this next adventure. You guys have the same story to tell as I do, you know? And we need to hear what God is doing in your life. We need to hear what God has done. It encourages us to believe in the impossible, because if he did it for me, he's going to do it for you. And it's difficult when you just pack up. It's easier to do when you're younger. If God asked me to do it now, I'd do it. I mean, all these thoughts run in, you're like, oh, I'm getting old. I mean, you know, all these barriers start coming at you, all these excuses. So when you're younger, it's a little easier just pack up and go carefree. I mean, literally, Beverly Hillbillies move, man. We had stuff tied on top of the car. We had, you know, we have fun. And I'm sure that if we did it again, it wouldn't be any different. But we're on a great adventure. And so what I'm going to run over some of the things we did. And I encourage you to do this too. This is like, it's not a diary. It's just, but write, try to remember back when God first told you to do something. Write it down. Make a little diary out of it so you can go back and remember. Because I don't remember half the things that God did, it seems like. Until out of the blue one day, something will just pop up like, remember what I do. You know? You know, when we made that trip back there, I didn't know this was possible, and scientifically it's not, but my daughter had a dream the night before, we didn't have a home or nothing when we went down there. We got there and went to the place that helps you find a house. I forget what it's called. But my daughter saw a picture of the house that we were going to be moving in a dream. And I looked at my wife and I go, okay, we'll see. We got down there. And on the way down there, it was right on the highway in Northern California, Highway 101, right on the beach. And they have some beautiful rainbows down there. Man, this storm came in, boom, dumped and opened up. This rainbow was massive. It was so rich in color. It was like it was dripping color. And I go, look at that. And as we were going seemingly under it, I looked in the back seat. It was in the car. It was in the car. My daughter was all these different colors. And I looked at Carrie. I go, do you see that? And I pulled the car over and got out. And right behind me, there was probably 20 other cars that pulled off the highway to look at this. Scientifically, you can't catch up to a rainbow. It's like God was saying, hey, thanks for coming. Hallelujah. And so many things like that took place while we were there. I mean, people walked up, knocked on our door and said, hi, I'm so-and-so. And we made an acquaintance and said, oh, well, you know what? I think every church needs a new vacuum. I happen to be a rainbow salesman. Can I make an offering to what you're doing? Sure. I didn't know what a rainbow was, but man, it was great. I had fun. I love cleaning stuff. I'm a clean freak. I'm always following after my wife now. I'm the cleaner in the house. It's so neat, man. Take that. You know what a rainbow is? Yeah. Like all that dirt and say, oh, this thing really works. You dump it out and it makes you feel good. But we had a lot of those things that took place while we were down there. Just out of the blue, God just continually kept providing needs for us. And he does that for you too. You know, your life is, it's involved in a seed time and harvest process. You know that? Everything you do includes seed time and harvest. When you love on someone, you're planting a seed. When you give something to someone, you're planting a seed. When you plant a financial seed, it's a seed. If you say something harsh, it's a seed. And whatever you plant is going to come up. So I encourage you to think about what we say before we say it, So the journey started going back home. It took us back to Phoenix. And we stayed there for a while with my son. And he helped my wife. She wanted to do something different. Now, I might be getting ahead of myself here. We moved down there for about 3 years or 2 years. And, being from Northern California, 100 degrees on Christmas Day is not normal. It's not. And we lived in a place just off of Orange Grove. It was down a ways. And it was exclusively a retirement place that opened up to the public. So it was nice. It had all of the, amenities. And we went down to, it's called the Desert Pool. And I went down there early Christmas morning. 100 degrees, early. And I looked at her, I go, can we go home? So our journey there was over. So we packed up the truck, moved again. And we did. And we came back home. The journey. Everything that you do is preparation for tomorrow. There's things that we had to learn down there. There's things that we had to see down there. And I'm not going to go into all of those things. But we came back. I'm sorry. We moved. January 1st, and we moved back to a place in Oregon that we had never been to. So here's another great adventure. We just decided, okay, if we're going to go back to Oregon, let's go somewhere where we haven't lived before. So we moved to Bend, middle of the winter, and as we're driving through Bend, they use a lot of red rock on the road up there when it's snowing, to get traction and stuff. And we went through on a Friday afternoon, And there was even commercials on TV that said, you know, don't drive through Bend Friday night, 5 o'clock. You know, it's just really crowded, congested. We did. We drove through there. And it just looked so dirty because of all that red rock. And we thought, you know, Eastern Oregon was beautiful. We heard all this. And Kerry goes, why don't we just keep going? I think there's a little town just further. So we kept on going. We got a U-Haul and I worked out a deal with this guy. He gave me 10 days to get to Oregon. So I said, look, it's winter. What if we get stuck in a snowstorm? Because I'll give you 10 days. So we have 10 days free storage. Got there, found a motel, moved in, and that hotel was our home for a while. Then we found a house. I mean, this all sounds kind of subtle and easy, but, you know, when you think about it, it's challenging. You go, you don't have any home, you don't have a job, you're starting over. And I knew we had X amount of money. And as we're, I've always wanted a 69 Firebird, always. I love that car. Well, I like that car. And as we're driving through this little town that we ended up living in, there's a 69 Firebird right at this Y when we drive up to it. And I look to Karen and I go, oh, can I? I mean, nope. Oh, no, come on. I mean, I couldn't believe it. At that time, it was like $4,000. Now they're $30, $35, $40. But, I mean, we didn't have that much. But I sure wanted it. I went back and kept looking at it while we were living there. I go, man, that's nice. So we started over, you know. But God always provides. And there again, she goes, honey, we're getting kind of low on money. And I go, okay, I got to get a job, right? So I went down and I got a job at Albertson's bagging groceries. You know, I mean, I had a blast. I met a lot. I met the guy. How many remembers Beverly Hillbillies? Okay, Gunsmoke. I met the guy that carved those doors for the Beverly Hillbillies and the bar for Gunsmoke. He was a character, man. I met a lot of people like that bagging groceries. And most of them, they look at me and they go, what are you doing? What are you doing bagging groceries? I go, I'm making a living. Okay, well, you like it? They must be paying more than they used to. And I go, no, I think it's minimum wage. I mean, I just, that door opened, so I went in. I mean, if you got a job with Albertsons, maybe you can move up. And I had a young man come up to me while I was bagging groceries, and he goes, I mean, he just kept looking at me. He goes, and he did say, he goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm bagging groceries. Why is everybody asking? Why? He goes, have you ever considered sales? I go, well, what do you got? I mean, long story short, well, I left that job and I went to work for it was a pretty large company. And I became a merchandiser at first and worked my way up into sales. But it's all part of the journey. I mean, everything I learned from working with every single person that I saw and met, I got something different out of them. You know, I mean, it was a journey I never would have went on, or I would have never experienced if I never would have went on it. Life is short. You know, if God tells you to go, go and see what he'll do. It's an amazing trip. We had a lot of fun. And bag groceries, reading my little notes here. And then from there was a store that I was a sales rep to that asked me, hey, would you consider, because you know a lot about these products. We're looking for someone to run our store. Would you be willing to take over? It's like a GM kind of thing. And I go, well, let's see what you got, you know? Pray about it. And I went home and talked to Kerry about it. And I said, okay. And I said, but you got to promise me this. You're not going to sell the store, right? If I get your numbers up, I'm not going to work myself out of a job, right? Oh, no, you're not going to. No, trust me, man, we want this thing to work. This store had nothing going for it. I mean, a location, location, location. I mean, and real estate. It had nothing. It was a bad spot. It was a car wash, lube bay, grocery store, all kind of connected. And I saw the possibilities. So I said, yeah, part of the adventure. So I walked away from a good paying job and took something that was going to pay me pretty close to what I was making. But I knew the opportunity for increase was there. So I took it. And within 7 months, I had that store's numbers up so good that someone came through and read the books and wrote him a check and said, I'll buy this today if you'll sell it. And the wife, she called me crying. She goes, I am so sorry. You know, my husband got an offer that he just couldn't refuse. And I go, I understand, you know. So they wrote me a, what do you call that when they write you a check, like goodbye, a severance pay. Yeah. And said, we're so sorry, you know. I said, well, okay, it's part of the journey. It's part of the adventure. What's next? So I'm sitting at home, sitting in my recliner, kind of, I don't know, maybe feeling sorry for myself a little bit. And my son calls. He said, Dad, turn on the TV. Turn on the TV. 9/11 is happening at that moment. I went, man. I mean, immediately afterward, my wife walks through the door. Honey, you're not going to believe this, but you know how you've been telling me all my life that I need to be doing something, my own business. You keep telling me, you know, that I'm crafty and I'm, she goes, well, I'm going to do it. I just quit my job and I'm going to build my own business. And I went, oh, thank you, Jesus, you know, woo, you know, what else is next? And it's the journey, you know, and ever since that day, 9/11, 9/11, Brother Dan can attest to this. There's things that God tells you. 9/11. I never look at a clock, ever. I wear a watch just because if I don't, I feel off balance. I never look at a clock. But every time I do, it says 9/11. I mean, it's a common theme. Carrie will see it and go, 9/11? What's it mean? I don't know. I keep asking God, I mean, what are you trying to share with me? What are you trying to get across? What? I looked up every Bible verse there was. In the Quran, 9/11, I forget what chapter it was, but it talks about the eagle destroying Islam. They tried to destroy America. They tried to hurt America on that day. But I think they were fulfilling a prophecy against them. But 9/11, what did it mean? And it wasn't until just the other day, I was sitting there, and you know how Pastor Henry is constantly, you got to expand your foundation. You got to grow outwardly. You got to start inwardly to grow outwardly, to reach our community. He has a passion to win the lost in our city. And because he does, we do. Because we're following the vision that he has, that God's given him. That's why we're here, because we see the vision. We want to be a part of the vision. And I was thinking about, I was praying for a guy. My house is the townhouse, and it's on the back of it. There's a county access road. And so when you're not used to having people walking through your backyard, it takes a while to get used to it, but they travel, they walk their pets, they, you know, and so, you know, we've gotten used to it after all this time. So I was out there watering some trees, and this guy walks up with a dog, and we just lost a dog that we had for 15 years or so, little Westie. He was, out of all, how many years we've been married? 47? 45, 50. It seems like forever because I've been with her forever. This dog, man, Carrie, all of our dogs have been mom's dogs. Every single one of them. This dog, man, he latched onto me. You know what I did? I forced myself on him because we read up. The reason we bought a Westie was because they don't need attention. They don't need to be pampered. They're their own man, you know? Yeah, well, good, you know? So, and then I got him and I realized, you know, I want to give him a hug. I want to love on him. I want him to. And so I picked him up on purpose. He's this ball of strength, you know, just energy. And I would just hold him tight. Hold him tight. Say, I love you, man. I love you. And he, after about 10 minutes, he just started relaxing. I did that every day for years. And I couldn't get rid of him. That dog loved me. We developed a kindred relationship. If I went somewhere, he would sit on the back of that couch looking out that window till I got home. He was just that way. So I hadn't experienced that kind of loss before. The vet put him to sleep in my arms. He had cancer. And when he breathed out, I breathed out. I lost a good friend. And when this guy walked up behind our house, I noticed his dog had these big knots on him. I go, what's wrong? What's wrong with your dog? He said, it's got cancer. I said, oh, man. I go, can I pray for him? He looked at me, he goes, yeah, you know? And so I prayed for him. And I talked to him, developed a little relationship, and he explained, you know, I just moved into the subdivision. We're going to be living here permanently within the next year or so, going back to Montana. And he left. And I felt like I was missing something. Yeah, I prayed for his dog, but I felt like I missed out on an opportunity to really showcase Jesus. I mean, I prayed for him, but there was just a passion or something missing when I was doing it that I felt like I was missing when I walked away. And I made a decision in my heart that was never going to happen again. If God tells you to do something, if he tells you to go, if he tells you to, or impresses on you to pray for somebody, a pet, I don't care what it is. Do it with all your heart. Do it where someone stands back and goes, wow, they really believe. And I just prayed a prayer over them and believe in God to get rid of that cancer in that dog's body. But I just felt like I had missed an opportunity. And it's not like I feel guilty about or anything, but it showed me just what I want to be in the eyes of the world around me. Amen? I mean, Gary asked me one time, he goes, what do you want to be when you grow up? I said, oh, about 6'2". You know? It makes you think when people ask you questions like that. What do I want to be when I grow up? I want to be the light of the world. Don't you? I wish that I'd have showcased Jesus behind my house that day in a more unique, powerful way. I walked away from that. I learned something. I'm going to be different. I'm going to be different. I want the light to shine through me. I know you do too. I want to experience God's best in every situation that I encounter. I don't want to walk away unfulfilled anymore. I'm not going to do it. I'm not. Amen. Now, after that business sold, my wife and I, a journey again. Went back to Phoenix. Told you I never wanted to move here, but went from Tucson to Phoenix. So preparation time is not a waste of time. God's preparing my heart, Carrie's heart. We're training for reigning. You know, I don't think I'm gonna get to the actual message that I had prepared for today, but training for reigning was the title of the message. But it changed this morning when God said go. go. So, you know, my encouragement to you today and to myself is go. Whatever it is that God's asked you to do, do it with passion. Do it in a way that people walk away going, man, they really believe. I prayed for my mother-in-law one time when she was in the hospital. She had had a heart attack. And I went and I prayed over her. And as I was, God asked me that question. Do you really believe what you're saying? Well, yeah. It's kind of like when he asked Peter, he goes, Peter, do you love me? He goes, well, yeah, you know I love you. And he goes, feed my sheep. Okay. And he asked him again, Peter, do you love me? He goes, look, you know I love you. Feed my lambs. He goes, okay. I asked him again, Peter, do you love me? He goes, yes, I do. It dawned on him what he was trying to get at. And he goes, then feed my sheep. Every single one of us have an opportunity to encourage one another, to build up one another, to speak into other people's lives, the good things of God. Iron sharpens iron. That's what we're doing here today. Whether you know it or not, just a smile on your face when you say hi to someone might fill a void that's in them because of a hurt they're going through. Just a smile. Seeing an old friend come by. I mean, he's got a smile, man. And he warms your heart. Everything that you do and say is planting a seed. Everything that you do. So we went back to Phoenix. My son, that kid is smart. He's got a higher IQ than anybody I know. He's going to teach mom how to do business on the internet. Because she said, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to start my own business. But I need help. So my son said, okay. So we went out and stayed with him for a couple months. And my wife learned how to navigate on the internet. I still haven't really learned, but she can. I mean, if I got to be careful. If I say I need something, next day, you know, Amazon. So I got to be careful because she's good at what she does. Afterwards, we went back to Bend. It's a journey. It's a journey. I went back and worked with a friend that I was a sales rep to. He ran a store out in Sun River, Oregon. It was a nice place. And he bought a business from a friend of his and then bought another business of the same type from someone else. And we worked together and we covered all of Eastern Oregon, two trucks. I had a 25-foot trailer pickup, refrigerated. Half of it, the journey, all these experiences I had, all the people I met, it was preparing me for right now. Learning how, David, when he was out there tending sheep, he learned how to take care of people by taking care of sheep. So there's another part of our journey. I met a wonderful guy that gave me a huge opportunity to play, have fun with him, driving down the road. I had hours because Eastern Oregon is wide open country. It's towns are far apart. So I had a lot of time to listen. Back then it was tapes. We don't do tapes anymore, right? Audio tapes. All these teachings that I had to glean from. I was preparing for today. Preparation time is not wasted time. And like Pastor Henry says, the journey validates the arrival. Everything that you're going through right now is preparing you for when you arrive at a destination that God has predetermined that you'll be at. Amen? It just does. You know, and I just saw somebody slam down a bear. Hey, good job, yeah. In the nursery. There's So the journey back to Oregon caused us to come back here. I mean, there's a lot of crisscrossing going on here. And if you study your Bible, you're going to find that there's a lot of these apostles. Apollos, Paul. These guys, they crisscrossed each other's way. If you look at history, when they would go from Corinth, Thessalonica, they didn't even know it. We do now from looking back at history and looking at maps and in time frames and knowing who was where, when, why, crossing each other's path. And then they eventually linked up. You know, I love Pastor Henry. I love Pastor John. I mean, I love the trust that they have in me. I love the things that they've spoken into my life and encouraged me to become with what God has shown me. But they were traveling down a road at one point. I was traveling down a road at one point. You were traveling down. And I guarantee you, if we had an opportunity to see each other's lives during the same period of time, we were probably passing each other some way on that road. But God brings us back to a place. No one's promised tomorrow. I don't know when the rapture is going to take place. I don't know when I'm going to go home and be with Jesus. You don't either. So my challenge to you today is to understand that you're on a journey. You're on a journey. And because you're a born-again, spirit-filled believer in Jesus Christ, you are a moral compass in the earth. I gleaned this from Fox News the other morning. A guy stood up and he goes, "You know what's wrong with America? There's no moral compass." And if you don't have that moral compass inside of you, the conviction of the Holy Ghost, the teaching and leading of the Holy Ghost, you're going to depend on someone else to take care of you. All you got to do is watch the news. Everybody wants someone, not everybody, but a big majority of this country wants people to take care of them. They want the government to pay for this and this and this and this. People's work ethics have diminished. No moral compass. You are that moral compass in this world. Everywhere you go, when you leave here, if you go to Safeway, realize there's someone there that God might want to use you to speak into their life. Be that compass. Allow God to move you into a place where he can use you. I feel like, you know, like Brother Dan, I mean, I was a Boy Scout. I learned how to use a compass. And if I feel like on all these journeys that God's taken us on, that compass has been leading us. Even when you don't want to go somewhere, you know, and we're taught here that usually the biggest blessings come in your life when you do something you don't want to do, but you do it because you know it's the right thing to do. Amen? Amen. I didn't want to move here. But we did it for the right reasons. It was family. We came down here to take care of a family member because we couldn't get her up there with us. It was too cold and she had arthritis. So we made a decision. You know, and just... I'm going to wrap this up, but on your journey, remember to pray and seek his face about every decision you make. There's one time that stands out for me and Carrie that we did not put something before God and ask his opinion. We bought a house in Oregon in Culver, and it seemed like the right thing to do. It just made sense. I mean, to get into a house at the time, it was easy, and we were living there. So, I mean, we liked this part of Oregon. I guess we'll be here the rest of our life. Let's do this. We bought it. We sunk a bunch of money into it. And all of a sudden, we got to make a decision here. Her mom had fell here. She's an only child. So we had to make a choice. We Tried to get her up with us, too cold. Okay. Okay, Lord, what do? We didn't pray about that house. I'm sharing this with you to consider this. In any situation you're in, pray about it. That house, when we started on our next new journey down that road of life on the way to Green Valley in the U-Haul, you ever heard an alert come over the airways? Like a security alert nationwide. It was on AM station. It's all you can get in the U-Haul. Warning. The housing market has just crashed. I went, oh no. We just put this thing on the market. It took 2.5 years, I think, to sell. We didn't pray about that. See, God knows the future. He knew we were going to be coming back to Green Valley, Arizona. We didn't. He did. We didn't ask him. Our fault. You know, and it was a lost investment. You put that much money into a house and then that happens. You don't recoup. You don't get it back. But God in his grace and mercy, we got through it, you know. But pray. Pray and seek his face about every decision that you're going to make. And when you do decide to go on that journey, I mean, you're on that journey now. You don't have to go anywhere. God tells you at Safeway, tell that woman I do love her. Yes, sir. Okay. Here goes. Watch what happens. Only God knows. I've told that story to you several times. It was in an Albertsons. Tell that woman I do love her. You got to be kidding. No. I'm dirty. I'm stinky. I got diesel, gas. Tell that woman I love her. Okay. So I did. She didn't know me. I didn't know her. God knew us both. I told her, I said, ma'am, I hope this doesn't offend you, but God wants you to know that he does love you. She started crying, makeup running. People walk by and ask me, what did you do? I go, I didn't do nothing. You know, I mean, I just told her God loves her. Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Well, when she was done crying, she told me, you're not going to believe this, but last night when I was laying in my bed, I looked at the ceiling and said, if you're really there, send someone to me to tell me that you do love me. Just like that. A Red Sea split. I don't know where she's at today, but I guarantee you her life was impacted by the grace of God in a huge way. That might happen to you today on your way home. Don't miss out on the opportunity. Do everything you do with passion, with fire, with determination. Be like, I think it's Hebrews 10:23, man, where you're supposed to stand steadfast. It's like, you know, it's a picture of a bulldog with a bone in his mouth. You ever try to take a bone away from a bulldog? It don't go anywhere. He makes sure of that. Be that way in your walk with God. Be steadfast. Be sure. Don't worry about what could, would. Just do whatever God asks you to do. And watch and see what he will do. Man, oh, you know, no. One thing I wanted to thank all of you. You know, we're on a journey here. We're on a journey back there. We're going to remodel. We're going to restructure. And we're able to do everything that we're doing because of you. You understand that? We just ordered 2 brand new big air conditioning units. And I know that the temperature in here can kind of be off and on every once in a while and uncomfortable sometimes, maybe cold. Well, I appreciate your patience, okay? And because of your faithfulness to this church, we were just able to, and these are big. They cost a lot of money. You guys made it happen. And I want you to know we appreciate you, and we're very thankful for your commitment to see this journey come to pass. Amen? Amen. You guys going to come back up? Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. You know, it's hard for me to even start a prayer without saying thank you for your amazing grace. I think I start every prayer that way. because I am so thankful for his amazing grace. Everything that he's done in my life that I did not deserve, he did it anyways, because he loved me, he loves you, and I pray that God's will be done in your life today, tomorrow, and every day of your life as you pursue your journey. And write that down. Write your journey down. Go back over it and watch and see what he has done in the past and what he's going to do for you in the future. Amen? So as we get back into a little bit of praise, just give God glory and honor for all he's done. Hug each other on your way out. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your might, all your strength, and have fun. Amen? Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.